Chapter 3. Walking at the Bottom of the Ocean. "Now, Professor," said Captain Nemo, "I am going up to the surface." He pressed an electric bell 3 times, and the pumps started to pump water out of the tanks. The Nautilus started to rise, and then suddenly stopped. "We have arrived," said the captain. We climbed the iron ladder and went out onto the platform on top of the Nautilus. The sea was beautiful and calm, and we couldn't see anything except for the sea. The captain made some calculations and then said, "Mr. Aronnax, we are 400 kilometers from Japan. Today, November the 8th, we start our journey under the sea." We went back down into the submarine, and I met Ned Land and Conseil in the museum room. We talked about what we had seen and where we were. "I have seen and heard nothing," said Ned Land. "Well, Ned, the only thing to do is to keep quiet and watch what happens," I said.
"Watch!" exclaimed Ned. "But there's nothing to watch in this iron prison."
Suddenly, the light went off and a shutter opened. A large glass window was in front of us, and a bright electric light shone out into the water.
"Wow! It's like being in an aquarium," said Conseil.
And for the next 2 hours we watched, fascinated by the many different kinds of fish and sea animals swimming next to the Nautilus. For the next 8 days we travelled under the sea, and only came to the surface to get more air. I didn't see Captain Nemo at all, but on November the 16th I found a note in my room. "To Professor Aronnax. Captain Nemo invites Professor Aronnax and his friends to go hunting tomorrow in the underwater forest of the island of Crespo. Captain Nemo." The next day, I woke up and got dressed and went to the museum room where Captain Nemo, Conseil, and Ned Land were waiting for me. After breakfast, we followed the captain to a special room and put on heavy diving suits which were made of rubber and had arms, legs, and heavy boots. We put on our metal helmets and were given a special underwater gun. We followed Captain Nemo into another small and very dark room. The door was closed, and then the room began to fill with water. When it was full, a door in the side of the Nautilus opened and, not really believing it was happening, we walked out onto the bottom of the sea. We saw many interesting things, and soon we were walking through thick mud and seaweed. After an hour and a half, the ground sloped downwards, and we arrived at the forest of Crespo Island, which was made of huge tree-like plants. It was incredibly beautiful, unlike anything I had seen on land. At 1 o'clock, we stopped to have a rest. We lay down on the soft seaweed and I fell asleep. I don't know how long I slept, but when I woke up, there was a huge sea spider that was just about to jump on me. Captain Nemo took his gun and killed the spider, and I realized that many other, more dangerous animals might live here at the bottom of the sea. I must be more careful, I thought. We walked on and reached a narrow valley between 2 high cliffs. We lit our lamps and continued walking down and down. At about 4 o'clock, a wall of rock appeared. It was the island of Crespo and was impossible to climb. We stopped and turned around and started walking back to the submarine. Suddenly, Captain Nemo picked up his gun and shot an animal which had swum in front of us. It was a magnificent sea otter with a beautiful fur coat. He picked it up and we continued on our journey. After walking for another hour, we saw the Nautilus in the distance. Just as I saw it, I felt Captain Nemo push me to the ground. After a moment of panic, I looked up and saw 2 dangerous dogfish pass by without seeing us. Again, I had been saved by the captain. We climbed back into the submarine and took off our diving suits, and I went back to my room and immediately fell asleep from exhaustion. What an adventure! For the next few weeks, I didn't see Captain Nemo very much. I spent most of my time reading and working in the library, and we continued on our journey. We passed the Sandwich Islands, Tahiti, the New Hebrides, and by January the 4th we were near Papua New Guinea. We were going through the Torres Straits, which are the most dangerous straits in the world.
Suddenly, I felt a shock and I was thrown to the floor. The submarine had hit a small island made of coral and had stopped moving. Captain Nemo came into the museum room looking worried. "We have had an accident," he said. "We are stuck in this coral island, and we will have to wait 5 days until the water level is higher. Then we will float off." We were near land, and Captain Nemo allowed us to take the small boat and go to shore. So, at 8 o'clock the next morning, we rowed towards the mainland. Ned Land was extremely happy. "Meat," he said. "We're going to eat meat." We searched hard, and on our way we collected coconuts, bananas, mangoes, and pineapples, and took them back to the submarine. But Ned wasn't satisfied. "We must find animals. We must have meat," he said. The next day, we went back to the mainland and caught a wild pig. We cooked and ate the pig, and in the afternoon we caught some small kangaroos. At 6 o'clock, as we were returning to where we had left the boat, I noticed a stone fly past me and hit the boat. We looked around and saw what must have been 100 native men running towards us. They had bows and arrows and were shooting at us. In panic, we jumped into the boat and quickly rowed back to the submarine. "Captain," I cried, "we have a problem. There are 100 dangerous natives outside." "Mr. Aronnax," answered the captain, "if all the natives on Papua New Guinea were on the shore, they wouldn't be able to hurt us." At 6 o'clock the next morning, the natives were still there, and I realized they weren't going to leave. By 11 o'clock, they had surrounded the Nautilus in their small boats. By the evening, some of them had climbed on top of the submarine and were shouting and screaming, but they couldn't get inside. I went to bed, and I must say that I didn't sleep very well. In the morning, the natives were still on top of the submarine, making a terrible noise. At 2:35 p.m, the submarine started to float, and a few minutes later, the Nautilus sailed under the waves, and the natives all fell into the sea.